Tonight I'm going to be preaching on the circumcision of Timothy. You read about it in Acts chapter 16, the circumcision of Timothy. Now in that passage of scripture I just read out of Genesis chapter 9, the Lord told Noah and his family, all the animals are food for you. Doesn't matter what it is, it is meat for you. One restriction is given. The consumption of the blood of that animal is forbidden. Now, this was before the Levitical law. Right after they got out of the ark, the consumption of blood is forbidden. Turn with me for a moment to Leviticus chapter 17. I've entitled this message, Who is the Blood For? Who is the Blood For? Look in verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Notice, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So we see before the giving of the law, we have this command. We see this command in the law. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 15. This is the New Testament. We touched on this a few weeks ago. Verse 20. Write unto them, this is the Gentile church at Antioch, write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Look in verse 29. You abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. And in chapter 16, verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep those four things that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now, why this command? It was given before the Levitical law. It's given in the Levitical law. And it's given to the church in the New Testament. Why this command? Now, it's not a command as in one of the Ten Commandments or any of the commandments commanded in the Levitical law. This is a gospel issue. Why is this given? Because the blood is not for me or you. The blood is for God. Now, let me repeat that. I want you to think about it. And I think, hopefully, if the Lord's pleased to bless it, we'll understand this more clearly. The blood is not for you. It's not for your consumption. The blood is for God. 50 times, over 50 times in the book of Leviticus, when we read of the blood being offered, it was always said to be placed before the Lord. 50 times. Before his face is what the word means. You see, the blood was not presented to you. The blood was presented to God. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, not when you see the blood. As a matter of fact, if you were in the house with the blood over the door, you couldn't see it. But that's not what matters. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, not without blood. He didn't just come waltzing into God's presence. Not without blood. The writer to the Hebrews said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, this book that we're looking at this morning, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, here's the subject: the character of God. He's holy. That means He's not in any way like me or you. He's other. The character of man. He's utterly sinful. That's you. That's me. That's all men. That's God's testimony. Utterly sinful. And the Bible tells us how a holy God can embrace a sinful man through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the theme of this book. In Genesis chapter 3, as soon as the fall takes place, what happens? A lamb is slain to cover their nakedness. In Genesis chapter 4, two men, Cain and Abel. What was the difference between those two men? The blood. As we saw last week, as soon as Noah walked out of the ark, what's the first thing he did? He built an altar and offered blood sacrifice. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Now, men have called this barbaric. Many have even called this a slaughterhouse religion, this thing of the shedding of blood. And the only reason they say that is they don't know God and they don't know themselves. If I would make any apology for preaching on the blood of Christ, it's that I don't preach it enough and that I'm not clear enough on it. That's the only apology, and may the Lord enable us to enter in to who the blood is for. When Paul summarized his preaching, he summarized it like this: we preach Christ crucified. The blood shedding of the Son of God. And he said, I've determined not to know anything among you, not to consider anything as important, as worth mentioning, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The shedding of His blood. The cross, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most godlike thing God has ever done. Now, the first thing I would like for us to consider is whose blood was shed? Whose blood was shed? You see, if my blood was shed for you, what good would it do you? It wouldn't do anything for you. But the blood we're talking about is the blood of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Strong language, isn't it? Who is he that condemneth? Paul asks in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? And here's his answer. It's Christ that died. By his own blood, the writer to the Hebrews said, by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The blood of God the Son. Now this blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this blood that was shed for God, is eternal blood. The blood of God's purpose. We read in Revelation chapter 13, 8, and this is the whole Bible. Now, you listen to this carefully. Get hold of this by the grace of God. The whole Bible is interpreted in light of this verse of Scripture. Christ is the Lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world. And the whole Bible is interpreted in light of that. Before there was a creation, before there was time, before there was space, before there was matter, he's the Lamb having been slain. Bloodshedding. From before the foundation of the world, we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, of the blood of the everlasting covenant. The covenant that never had a beginning, the covenant that never has an ending, the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, it was with his blood that he obtained eternal redemption for us. The blood of Jesus Christ is not God's response to anything. The blood of Jesus Christ is God's eternal purpose. It's the reason for everything. His blood is the only innocent blood, the only sinless blood that's ever been. You think of all the billions of people that have died up to this point, billions and billions. Ain't nobody ever had innocent blood. Now I realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, when sin was counted to him, when he took the sins of his people on, when he was made sin, he was guilty before God. He wasn't treated as if he were guilty. He was guilty. My sin literally became his. He bore my sin in his own body on the tree. But in and of himself, his blood is sinless blood, innocent blood. The point is, he never sinned. Paul said he knew no sin. Judas said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The dying thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss. The Roman centurion said, surely this was a righteous man, a man without sin. God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why, the Lord even said of Satan, the prince of this world has come and found nothing in me. How much could he find in you? How much could he find to work with? When he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he found nothing. For his blood to do anything for God, remember the blood was for him, it had to be sinless blood. Now, who was this blood shed for? Now, this is the theme of the Bible. I could not be speaking on anything more glorious or more important. Who was the blood shed for? You cannot preach the blood of Christ if we don't tell for whom His blood was shed. That has to be paramount in giving what the Bible says with regard to His blood. Well, I've already quoted this scripture, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Who did He purchase? The church of God. The Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Not goats, the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Christ Jesus, when He shed His precious blood, He shed His blood for the elect to present them to God. Now, 99%, and I think that's generous, of what is called Christendom teaches that Jesus Christ shed His blood for all men without exception, and forgiveness is offered to you on that basis. Jesus Christ shed His blood for all men without exception. He died for everybody, put away everybody's sins, and now God offers you forgiveness on that basis. Now listen to me real carefully. There is not a drop of gospel in that message. No gospel. Somebody that preaches that does not preach the gospel. Somebody that believes that does not believe the gospel. My only hope is that His blood was shed for me. If you tell me that His blood can be shed for somebody who winds up in hell anyway, I know I'll wind up in hell. Because the only hope I have, oh, I wish I could say this, the only hope that I have is that Jesus Christ paid for my sins and I'm not going to have to pay for them. His blood, when we talk about this blood that's for God, it was for the satisfaction of God. You see, for Him to do something for me or you, He had to first do something for Himself. That's why He gave His Son to die, for Him to accept me, for Him to embrace me, for Him to love me. He's going to first have to do something for Himself before He can do anything for me. He's the one who gave His Son. His Son willingly shed His blood for God, so God can accept me, and God is satisfied with the blood of His Son. And the proof of that is the resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He was raised because God was infinitely satisfied with what He did. I am satisfied, God said. That's why He raised His Son from the dead. And He's satisfied for everyone with everyone He represented. Perfectly satisfied. He's not looking for anything else. He's not looking for anything else out of you. He is satisfied, infinitely satisfied with the blood of His Son. And you know what? I am too. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm satisfied in what God's satisfied with. I don't find my satisfaction in my feeling of satisfaction. I find my satisfaction in seeing that God is satisfied with the death and resurrection of His Son. Nothing else is needed. You see, His blood is sanctifying blood. Hebrews 13:12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. Now, generally, people look at sanctification as how you conduct yourself. Well, how you conduct yourself is infinitely important. I wouldn't say it's not, but that's not what sanctification is. the blood of Christ sanctifies. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, by the which will we are sanctified once for all through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? You know, Psalm 86, when David said, I'm holy, I used to read that and I cringe. How does he say that? I know how he says it now. The blood of Christ makes me holy. I'm holy. And I'm not looking to any works on my part that prove that to me. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctifying blood. His blood is redeeming blood. The price has been paid. I said this a couple of weeks ago. We don't sing Jesus paid a half, the other half I owe. No, we sing Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Peter said, for you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. His blood is justifying blood. Romans 5:9, being justified by his blood. Now, if I'm justified, that means I don't have any guilt. That means more than being forgiven. I stand before God's law perfect, sinless. That is what his precious blood accomplished. It's peacemaking blood. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now that peace is not referring to the peace I feel. I love to feel peace, but that means God's at peace with me. He's got no reason to be mad at me. He made my peace with God. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Therefore, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His blood is forgiving blood. It's the cause of forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, let me tell you something about the forgiveness of sins. It doesn't come at the end. Well, you do this, you believe, you repent, you change your life, you whatever, fill in the blank, and you'll have the forgiveness of sins. No, God's salvation begins with the complete forgiveness of sins. That's how you start out. They're all forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his precious blood, there is present cleansing. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. Not has cleansed, not will cleanse. Right now, present tense, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I become so defiled every day. My feet dirty and spoiled by sin. And I need cleansed every single day of every single moment, every single second. You know, that laver that you had to, first there was the altar, and then that laver with the water in it, what that represents is the continual cleansing of that sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And listen to this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood. There's only one place boldness is. the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who ought to my charge lay? Fully absolved from these I am through sin's tremendous curse and shame. That's what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ does. It gives us boldness, confidence to enter into the very holiest, the very presence of God. And this blood we're speaking of is the blood once shed. What that means is it's so effectual, it doesn't need to be shed again. When he said it is finished, you know what? It's finished. You know, all I got to do is think about that and tension comes out of my body. It's finished. That's the power of his blood. It's never to be shed again. Every high priest often daily offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, it's the blood once shed. No need for it to be shed again. It's effectual blood. It's the blood of heavenly worship. Now, what was going on before time began? The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. What's going on right now? We're looking to his blood only. Let me give you a view into eternity future. That great group around the throne. You can read about it in Revelation 5. You know what they're singing? Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. You know, if that's not the theme of your worship now, you won't be there. This is the theme of heavenly worship, the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I would like to close by turning to Romans chapter 3. Verse 24. Well, let me read verse 23 first. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there's your history. There's my history. Sinned. Come short. What a definition of sin. Coming short of the glory of God. That's me. That's you. End of story. With regard to me and you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. It has to be free to us or we can't have it. We've sinned and come short of his glory. But thank God it's freely. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the shed blooding, or the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on Calvary's tree, his redeeming death, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, a sin-removing sacrifice. Now look at this phrase, through faith in his blood. Through faith in his blood. Do you have faith in his blood? I'm not asking you what you think about yourself. I'm asking you this. Do you personally, right now, while you're listening to this message, do you have faith in his blood? Are you relying on the accomplishments of his blood? Do you believe God is satisfied with his blood? Are you personally relying on God's satisfaction with His blood? Do you believe His blood is the blood of God? Do you believe His blood is sinless blood? Do you believe that His blood is effectual saving blood? Do you believe that His blood is sanctifying blood? Do you believe His blood is redeeming blood? Do you believe His blood is justifying blood? Do you believe that His blood is peacemaking blood? Is the only hope you have that His blood is continually cleansing? Continually. Do you believe that there is forgiveness in His blood? Do you believe there's a finality in His blood that it doesn't have to be shed anymore? Effectually accomplished what He purposed. Can you see where His blood, do you find His blood? This is the only way you come into His presence is His blood. There is no other way. Do you believe His blood is the theme of heavenly worship? Do you have faith in His blood? Hymn number 212. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Lord, in Christ's name, we ask that You would teach us and enable us to have faith in His precious blood. Enable us to understand what can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come lead us in that hymn, 212. That's what I meant to say.